I want to tell you why I sent you the letter to be a guest on your show.
Okay.
My wife and I were on vacation, and we went to a planetarium in Williamsburg. And this young guy was he was doing the show, and he puts up this picture about Jupiter, and he says, "And this spot on Jupiter is a hurricane." And I go, "Okay, I'm going to keep quiet. I'm not going to say anything because he's totally wrong." And then this young kid said, "Is the face on Mars real?" And he said, "No, it's not. NASA took photographs and it shows it's just a big rock." Then I went through the roof and I said, "Okay, I got to tell him. No, it's real." And then this other guy says, "No, he's right." And I said, "No, I watched NASA manipulate our camera crew away from Goddard. I know what they're doing. It's real. The math says it's real." See, the math doesn't lie.
And the guy must have just looked at you like, get down.
Yeah. Well, the math doesn't lie.
That, well, see, that's the key to a lot of this. The math doesn't lie.
People, you know, lie.
People lie. Pictures can get misinterpreted.
Yes.
Different angles of the sun.
Organizations lie at a multiple of the people who know they have to lie. And that's why if you do the math yourself, you don't have to be math savvy, but this is basic high school math that's dealing with the Morgan curve. Earl Torn discovered the X and Y axis of this. And if people are looking at the animation or anything like that on the website, I used angles to show that these things are spaced exponentially. The first angle that I use, it says it's 20 degrees. It's actually 19.5, dead center through that mound.
That's one of Richard's favorite numbers, by the way.
Yes. It's 19.5, dead center to that mound. And the guy who helped me make this, one of my coworkers, John Merica, we sat down and we did this on a silicon graphics machine back in 1997. And I was, as we were going through this and putting it together, I said, "Swing that 45 degrees. When he swung it 45 degrees, this exact same length ray fell across these two mounds that were spaced the exact same spacings as the two mounds, the sixth, fourth, and the other mound in that ray." And I was like, that is too much of a coincidence. And I discovered that right then. I didn't know it was there. But Earl Torn, when he looked at what I had shown him, he discovered that there was the X and Y axis, because he said, what curve could this be? He decides to try the logarithmic function of E, because mathematically throughout the whole complex, E shows up again and again and again. So he says he takes his graph, lays it down over the area, and everything falls into place. The Y axis goes through two mounds in the city square, through another bump on the corner of the pyramid that the curve starts out from around, through the fifth mound that I kept wondering, why doesn't this fit the exponential spacing? And right up to the center of the five-sided pyramid. The x-axis started at the one that was at the end of the ray, goes through two others, and out to the tip of the fort.
You've sent us some pictures that we have posted on the coasttocoastam.com website right under your name that illustrates some of these.
Yeah.
Did it take you a long time to do the math, to check it?
No. No. One of the things, I showed this to one of Ted's favorite scientists, I won't say who it is, but he looked at it and he said,
And to people just tuning in, you're talking about Ted Koppel.
Yeah.
Okay.
He looked at it and he said to me, "Well, it looks like you put a lot of time into this, but I just don't believe you there's anything there." And I'm saying, this guy is supposed to be a scientist. I told him that I found the curve, the majority of the mounds, and the ray across it, and Earl Torn, who had nothing to do with me, expanded on what I had shown him. Now, if it was just randomness, he shouldn't have been able to do that. There was no way he should have been able to do that, because science is about duplication. I went in, did the same thing with the rulers and everything, and boom, it fell into place, and I was like, okay, this is real. I had my doubts at first, even with all the craziness that was happening at Goddard and camera crew getting manipulated and everything. I had doubts about whether it was real or not. But then when Earl did that, I was like, this is no joke. These are real artifacts that are sitting on the surface of Mars. How did they get there? Why are they there? What is the purpose of them? Well, Richard and Earl Torn figured out what the purpose was.
Do you agree with Richard's theory that we are the Martians?
No. I in this case, I have to kind of go with Inky. I could always think that, you know, change my mind if something else comes up, but I think Inky explains it, what happened. They were using Mars as a way station to take the ferry to gold back to their place. And they had 600, 900 heroes, they call them, stationed there. Mars, Lemieux, had rivers and lakes. Their craft, their engines ran off of water, which is something I'm about to talk about a little later. And when they got through the hammered out bracelet with the asteroid field, they used water cannons to push the asteroids aside to get through. They were almost out of water, so they landed on Lemuel and refueled from the water. And then it came on the Earth. And they decided they would leave 900 heroes there to run the way station. Well, you know that passage about the sons of the gods took the daughters of man as their wives?
Yes.
Well, Marduk, he was a commander of Mars at one point. Right. He was the son of Inky. He was marrying a human. So 600 of the heroes decided to come from Mars to Earth, and they're probably the Nephilim. They came to Earth under the pretense of attending his wedding, and they decided to take humans as their wives. So they rebelled, and they took the humans as their wives. And that is probably where that whole passage about them taking the daughters of man as their wives came from.
So perhaps we are in their image, right?
Oh, it gets even better. We're supposed to be talking about the other stuff. But, you know, it actually...
So do you do any of this on ABC's time, Keith?
Do I do what on ABC's time?
Your work and research. I'm pulling your leg.
No, I have fun doing this because since I work at night, I got plenty of time in the daytime to do things that I want to get done.
Well, and those of us who are interested in this seem to be consumed with it, and we talk about it all the time, day and night, and you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's get back to what we were talking about. George, if you discovered the secret of the universe, how would you pass that knowledge on?
Well, in my particular case, I've got a platform for it, but so that's easy for me.
No, but I'm saying, how do you pass it on to generations, thousands of years down
okay.
the road?
Well, you leave signs, you leave symbols, you leave artifacts. You try to do it like that.
Well, of course, you know, if you write it in paper, it's going to deteriorate. If you put it on some kind of technology, it gets lost over time.
So build something massive.
No, you write it in stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if you discovered the secret of the universe and you built a big monument around this that incorporated that mathematical principle, then it could pass down through time if they were big enough.
Now, here's the question. Why the mathematics involved? Is that to convince us that it's real, or is there another reason for it?
It's because math is... It's not the universal language. It's a derivative of the universal language. The universal language is actually quantity. Everything recognizes quantity. Ducks know how many little ducklings they have. Dogs know how many puppies it has. It doesn't know it by numbers. It knows the quantity. Then math is the explanation of the quantity, which man created. He put the numbers to it. He put the math to it. But nature has its quantity. Even a tree knows it has to have more leaves on one side to get the sun. But it's quantity, which is the universal language. And once we understand that, we'll really have an understanding of things.